Oh my gosh. And so I want to welcome everybody here today. It's not a coincidence that you are here today. You're here by divine appointment. And we welcome those watching online. Not able to be here today. Those that will be watching it later on. I pray that you're going to receive what God has for us today. I know He's spoke to me all week, woke me up nearly in the middle of the night. And so let's see what God has. Are you ready?
Come on.
Let me just take the word of the Lord that we read in the Bible. He says, "Will you not tarry with me 1 hour?" Okay. So stay with me today and let's see what the Lord has for us. Thank you, Lord. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice." Everybody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
"Ye heavens and ye that dwell in them." I want to speak to you this morning for just a little while concerning the ultimate weapon of the believer. The ultimate weapon of the believer. So this 12th chapter we see here where Satan was cast out of heaven and a third of the angels, and here he is now called the great dragon. He's called the serpent. He's called the devil. And he's called Satan. And just so you will understand then from the outset of this message, I'm not going to give a moment's time this morning to the devil's good, because he's not good and he has no good in him. But I am going to lift up Jesus because he is good and he's good all the time. What I do want to do concerning Satan is for us to know how to overcome him. In this 11th verse, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." I believe that God has made provision for every one of us who are the children of God to be an overcomer. We really can be an overcomer in this topsy-turvy, crazy world that we live in. And I believe there is a weapon that he has given us, of which so many in the body of Christ is not using to its full potential. It's something that we should without a doubt be familiar with, because it's what brought us into the kingdom of God and into God's family. Yet many in the body of Christ have become disillusioned, if you please, because it's not talked about very much in the church of today. It's not sang about, and it's been led to believe it's not needed today, that it's not appealing, that it's not a subject that will draw the crowds and the big numbers. But you need to know, it's the ultimate weapon of the church. It's the greatest weapon that the child of God can use today. And yet on many occasions we back off from it, Brother North. When I use the word weapon then, we find through time and through the ages, we've gone from throwing stones to the slingshot, and then on to the bow and arrow, and the spears, and the swords, and the knives, to the invention of guns and gunpowder for ammunition, and right into the nuclear age with weapons of mass destruction, using nuclear material for missiles and bombs, right on into the present age using laser technology. You've got to know there are laser-guided weapons in space today that circle our Earth and can at any moment knock out the satellites and aircraft of our enemy in space, or point down to the Earth to destroy and bring down and death and destruction on land and on the sea. And it's been in existence for some time. Today, we as children of God, listen, have our own customized weapons at our disposal. And sadly, so many believers do not use them, and therefore they go their entire life living and walking in defeat. I want to tell you that as a born-again believer, we have at our disposal 24/7 the ultimate weapon to use against our enemy. And remember, our battle then is not with flesh and blood. It's not with people using any man-made weapons, but it is a spiritual battle that we fight on a daily basis against the enemy of our soul. It's the weapon that the devil is afraid of. We can wield this weapon not only in a church setting, but on the job, in your home, anywhere you might find yourself dealing with the devil and his imps. Understand with me this morning, God has never intended for his children to be defeated by the devil. But God declared this in his word. Paul tells us in Romans 8:37 that we are in all these things more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, do you know what that means to be more than a conqueror? Watch this. It is to have the victory in the midst of the battle. While things are still raging around me, while the outcome still seems to be very uncertain, I can know that victory is mine. And I can even go ahead and rejoice in the heat of the battle. We conquer then through Christ, and then we are called to occupy and stand our ground, and then we are to carry out His plans and His purpose through every assignment then that He gives us. We are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. When John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, the Bible tells us, saw Jesus coming down that dusty road toward him, and while he was baptizing his converts, he happened to look up and he saw Jesus coming. When he said these words, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." We find Jesus then marched down into that water where John was conducting his baptismal service. And he told John to take him under the water. He said, "I have need to be baptized of you." Now, up until this time, Jesus never confronted the devil. There's no place in Scripture where we find that he ever confronted him until he received this experience when he came out of that water. John took him down under the water, and when he came up out of that water, Luke 3:22 tells us the Holy Ghost came on him. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased." Jesus was then led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Word says, and he was tempted by the devil. And we find Jesus confronted the devil then face to face. And if you are a child of God, then your experience should also be that which is of confrontation. Understand, there is an enemy out there that is ruling this fallen world, and he's called the devil. And the Bible says he is out to steal from us, he is out to kill us, and he is out to destroy everything concerning our lives. And guess what? He will not go away just because we ignore him. He must be confronted when he starts messing with you and your family and even your stuff. God never intended for us to walk around in defeat. What did he tell us? He said, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." Listen now, we should not worry one bit about getting into conflict with the devil. We should not be fearful of facing the enemy, especially if we know we're already going to come out of the fight victorious. Because the devil has no business messing with your family. He has no business messing with your body. And he has no business even messing in your bank account. And there's really only one place he has any right to be, and that's under our feet. Because remember, he is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. And with Jesus living on the inside of me, the Bible tells me that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Again, we don't have to worry about confronting the devil when we know we are going to win. So Jesus was led then of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. And Jesus was confronted by the devil on three separate occasions. But I'm not talking about the weapon that he used on these occasions. I'm thankful that we have the same weapon that Jesus used when the devil came out against him. The devil confronted Jesus, and he told him on one occasion, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." He was appealing to the physical heart of man. And understand that every one of us will at some point, if you haven't already, have to face the devil concerning your physical being, also in your mind and in your spirit. He is a real enemy who will try all three of those doorways. He will come after your physical health. He'll come after your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. He will come and he'll check your spiritual house. And if it's empty, the Bible says he'll move in with seven more of his friends and claim it as his again. The devil, you got to know, is the ultimate squatter. He's been the ruler of this world since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. But thank God, as born-again believers, we have been given power over all the power of the devil. In just a little while, we are going to deal with those three areas. And so during these 40 days in the wilderness, when confronted by the devil, Jesus did not resort to his deity. He used the same weapon that you and I have, at our disposal. He said, "Satan, it is written." I thank God this morning for his written word called the Bible. That same weapon of which you and I can use today. But I'm not referring to this particular weapon. Yes, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the devil tried to use it against Jesus in the wilderness. Every time the devil came out against him with, "If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. And each time Jesus would respond to Satan with, it is written, it is written, it is written. And in the same way today, we can hide that word in our hearts. In fact, we are encouraged to have it in our heart, ready to use as a sword at any given moment without hesitation when dealing with the devil's works. Yet I want you to know that there is that ultimate weapon that God has given to you and to me as a believer. We who have been transformed by the power of God and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have surrendered our lives wholly to Him, there is an ultimate weapon that the devil is most fearful of. And I'm not talking about any natural weapon that's used in physical warfare. I'm talking this morning about a spiritual warfare. We who are called the children of God have an enemy that is called the great dragon in our text in Revelation 12. He is the enemy of every Christian. He is the personification of evil, of which every child of God is destined to oppose him. Even if he appears as an angel of light, you better be able to discern who he really is, and you must then come to a place of confrontation with him at some point in your life. Because it's that devil that is out to destroy you and me. And understand me clearly this morning. We do not have to, and in fact, we better not lay down and subject ourselves to his lies and attacks, both verbally and physically. Don't you stay quiet when he comes to torment your mind. Don't you stay quiet when he comes to attack your physical body. Because hear me now, Almighty God has destined you and me to be an overcomer. And the ultimate weapon, every child of God, is this. Are you ready for it? Revelation 12 and 11 says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. You have to know the devil hates the blood. But you need to know I love the blood, because there's power, Brother North, in the blood. I may not completely understand how that precious red blood of Jesus washes me white as snow. Yet all I know that it is works, and the Bible tells me so. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ which for us is the ultimate weapon. Listen, the modern church has taken the blood out of our worship songs and is not even mentioned at all in many sermons being preached across the land today. It's all about mental assent through quiet meditation to a better you and through positive thinking. Hear me closely. Mental assent and quiet meditation will not set our children free. Or anybody else free for that matter. It won't set free those who are bound by demons of alcohol and drugs and pornography. Mental assent, quiet meditation, and positive thinking will not set free those who have swallowed, watch this, the demonic lies that are now bound in chains of a transgender lifestyle or any other lifestyle that is contrary to what Almighty God created us to be. It's only going to be the blood of Jesus Christ that will set them free. The old chorus says it clearly. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And guess what? The devil hates it. He despises it. And he wants you to be ignorant of it and not come to the knowledge that it's the ultimate weapon that will put him where he belongs. And that's a place of defeat, and of which will bring demise to his works on the earth. Jesus of Nazareth defeated him on Calvary. And you have to know there is no detente, meaning there can be no compromise between you and me and the devil. Oh, he will have a conversation with you if you will let him. He will sweet talk you into giving in. Just as he did in the garden at the beginning. Oh, go ahead, Michelle. Go ahead and eat that fruit. Who said you would die? Go ahead and partake. You'll be like God. You better not find yourself in a two-way conversation with the enemy. Because you will find out all he's trying to do is cause a delay to your vision. He's to distract you from your purpose and deceive you to believe a lie concerning God's love for you, which will lead you then in the end down a road to eternal damnation if you swallow his bait. Look at somebody, tell them, don't you swallow his bait. Amen. Using military language, understand we're not going to sign a non-aggression pact, meaning there's absolutely no strategy for retreat concerning you and me as a child of God. There's no backing up. There's no turning around. There's no riding the fence. There's no gray areas in what we believe concerning the Word of God. But there's only one way to go, and that's going forward. We're laying claim then to everything that God has promised us. Nowhere can I find then in the Word of God where Jesus said to the devil, well, my friend, you work over there and I'll work over here. Oh, no. First of all, he's not a friend of God, nor is he our friend. No, Jesus said, I'm going to work wherever I go. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And every time he ran into the devil, he cast him out. 1 John 3:8 says, for the purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This morning, I believe God's looking for a church. And really, it's a remnant to rise up in this day and hour that we are now in and use the weapons that we have been given. Just like we read about in the Old Testament concerning what was told to Queen Esther regarding the saving of her people. It's the same for you and me in this hour. He has brought us into the kingdom for such a time as this. Just know you do not have to run from the devil. But you can stop him in his tracks, and you can defeat him right there where you are, in your home, on your job, yes, in your spouse, in your children, in your finances. God wants you to be more than a conqueror. Thank God for the blood, which should be our modus operandi, simply meaning the only course of action that we should take. Here we go now, the Christian stance, our posture, our attitude, our position as a born-again believer should be one of controlled aggression. Yes, I know my history. I know from history that Martin Luther King espoused or embraced nonviolence. And that was a good thing. But when I'm dealing with an enemy of my soul who's out to steal from me and kill me and destroy my life, I have no choice but to take the other end of that stick, if you please. As a child of God who now belongs to the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Hear me closely on this. We must never entertain the false illusion of making a truce with the devil, supposing that he'll leave us alone. Well, Pastor, I don't bother the devil, and he don't bother me. Oh, please, Lord, help us all. What a deadly error that is if we as the church take that position. This morning, I want to declare it from the housetop. You must either fight or you'll perish. We've got to fight in this hour. I hope you're hearing me this morning. There is a fight going on for us and for our children and for the very souls of our grandchildren. We better stand up and fight. You've got to know, we used to think that the schoolhouse was a safe place. It's no longer a safe place. We better stand up and fight. Listen, understand with me, there is nothing to fear because the battle is not your battle in the first place. The battle is the Lord's, and it's a battle he's already fought 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary. So this is what I want to deal with today. That weapon that God has placed at our disposal. Every child of God, and I don't care whether you're just 100 pounds soaking wet, and Sister Margaret's probably watching that. You can be a powerhouse for God when you learn how to wield that weapon. This conquering weapon that God has given us was accomplished on Calvary through the death of Jesus Christ. The disciples couldn't even see it. Jesus was born of a woman for one reason, and that was to die. He was born to die. He knew what he had to accomplish when he was in the garden. Three times we see that he prayed, "If at all possible, Father, let this cup pass from me." But then on every occasion, guess what? He saw me in all of my sin. And he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He saw me and he saw you in your sin. And he proceeded to go on to Calvary because the price had to be paid. Blood had to be shed by the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Paul wrote this in his letter in Romans 5:8. "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus is the Lamb of God. We have a type and shadow of this given to us in Exodus. When God brought the children of Israel out from under Egypt's bondage and the whips of Pharaoh, it was the Lamb whose blood that they brushed the doorpost with. It was the blood of a spotless lamb put on the side post and the upper post of a house. God brought them out miraculously after the death angel passed over the land. Listen, the firstborn of every house was about to die. That was the last plague God put on Pharaoh to make him let go of his people, to let them go free. But God protected the houses of every one of the children of Israel because there was the blood of the Lamb that was applied to the doorpost. God told his people, if you apply the blood to the outside of the door, when the death angel passes over, when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. This morning, I've come to remind us there is a protection for every born-again child of God that has the blood applied to their lives. I'm not talking about just shaking the preacher's hand. I'm not talking about joining a church, but I'm talking about having the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart. that will keep you from spending an eternity in a devil's hell, separated from a loving God, where His Spirit now bears witness with your spirit, where you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and that you are a child of God and the blood has been applied to your life. There's power in the blood that obliterates sin and takes it away. So the question this morning is, has the blood been applied to your life? I'm showing you the way out of your sin. There's a way out of your trouble. There's a way out of your dilemma. And you don't have to go to church to get it. If you're watching this service online right now or at a later time, you can have it applied right there where you are in your home. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. If you'll respond to what I'm talking about this morning, this is the ultimate weapon. They overcame him, speaking of the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved their life unto death. What is this conquering weapon? It's the blood of Jesus. Paul writes a letter then to the church at Ephesus. And in the 6th chapter, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against wicked spirits in high places." He said, "Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles or the strategy of the devil." He said, "Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your loins girt about with truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Today, I'm thankful that we have that spiritual armor available to every one of us. But remember, it's all defensive in its purpose, with the exception of the sword of the Spirit. But I want you to know the ultimate weapon that God has given us is the offensive weapon that will put the devil where he belongs, in a place of defeat. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago. His death was a substitute sacrifice that carried not just my sins to the cross, not just your sins, but the sins of the whole world. When He died and when He was buried, and 3 days later He came up out of that grave, when I accepted what He did for me, I can now identify myself with Christ. His blood has been applied to my life. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." It would be then through the blood of the everlasting covenant that would equip you and me to carry out God's will, His plan, and His purpose in our lives today. And that's what is written by the writer of what the writer of Hebrews declared. And I want you to know that's what I'm sharing with you this morning. So in regards then to the ultimate weapon, the question is, how do we use this weapon? I'm talking to the church now. How do we use this weapon, this ultimate weapon, which is the blood of Jesus that's been applied to our lives? First of all, God never intended for us to put the blood on display under a glass, if you please, in some mausoleum, so we walk by it and we admire it. Oh my, look at the blood. No, the blood of Christ is not to be admired, it's to be used. Would you look at somebody and say, it's to be used. It's the atoning blood. It's what redeemed us. It's a blood, listen, that causes us now as believers to overcome sin and overcome the devil, who is our enemy. Your enemy is not your husband. Your enemy is not your wife. Your enemy is not your children. Your enemy is not the boss on the job or your next door neighbor. But we all have the same enemy, and that is the old dragon. That is the devil. And I hope you're listening to me this morning. Satan is the enemy, but God has shed his blood through Christ 2,000 years ago, which is our guarantee of having power over him. We came into this thing because of the blood. Now again, I'm talking to you as the church. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2, we find John writing then these words. John says, little children, don't sin. But he says, if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Meaning that Jesus will plead our case as a lawyer or advocate on our behalf. But guess what? The Bible says that he is also that faithful witness for us. And guess what? The Bible also says that he is our judge. Understand, this is the greatest news that we could ever hear. Our case has been set. We can't help but win in life. When Jesus is our advocate lawyer, when Jesus then is our faithful witness on our behalf, and he ends up being also our judge. Listen, it's a win-win situation for us as a child of God. Now, as long as we are in this flesh, until Jesus returns for us, yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, you're going to mess up on an occasion. We're going to open our mouths, and before we know it, in goes our foot. And sometimes it's going to be both feet at the same time. So John writes these words in 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Hallelujah. Paul comes along then and tells us in Galatians 5:16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Meaning, let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. So here is how then that weapon is used. And that is, first of all, the blood of Jesus that washed our sins away when you first came into the church. Watch this now. It will also continue, Brother North, to wash our sins away. And God doesn't remember what I used to be. Every sin I ever committed, he washed away. And every sin that I will commit in the now or in the future is washed away, because I have come under the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And so when I confess my sins, guess what? The blood does its work. The blood does its work. If tomorrow I mess up and step out of line in my walk and in my talk, if I will confess to him and repent, just know the blood will do its work. You and I, who have been redeemed, we are now the righteousness of Christ. That means we can stand before God in right standing as if we have never sinned. Why? Because we have been redeemed. And God doesn't remember what I did or what you did or what we used to be. Some folks want to stand up and tell all what God delivered them from and give all the nitty-gritty details of what they used to be. Understand this, that in my old age, Hopefully, I have gotten wiser in that if someone wants to know what I used to be, I can say it doesn't matter. What matters is I'm now the righteousness of Christ. I have the holiness of God. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ that washes my sins away. And I am a child of God. Listen, being washed in the blood of Jesus and made clean then. Watch this now. Then knowing that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus and made clean. Knowing that. Again, then knowing that, being washed in the blood of Jesus, it's made me clean. You can remind the enemy of that when he comes at you with guilt and condemnation and shame. You got to know it'll stop him in his tracks every time. He can't get past the blood that's done its work in your life and continues to do its work in our lives. That ought to make somebody shout. That is using the ultimate weapon. We can say boldly, not today, Satan. It won't work. Not today, Satan. It won't work. Try as you may. Your trash talk won't work on me. Your lies won't work this time. Your deception won't work on me. I've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I want you to get this above everything else. You have to get this in your spirit. First of all, you must regard Satan today and from this moment on with the understanding that he has been truly defeated through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know Satan is a vanquished enemy. Will he still roar? Absolutely. He will and he does. But remember, he's under our feet. The victory that Jesus accomplished on Calvary is my victory. Oh, I hope you're listening to me this morning. The Lord's victory is my victory. Jesus of Nazareth paid the price on Calvary when he looked up into heaven and he said, "It is finished." We can throw that back in the devil's face. Devil, you're finished. You are defeated. And then you can tell him, "Satan, Jesus put his foot on your neck and rendered you powerless and helpless. And because he had the victory over you, I am now his seed. I am keeping you where he put you, and that is under his feet, and now you're under my feet." And that means I am more than a conqueror. Jesus crushed the serpent's head, and he is the representative seed of the woman. And we who are of that seed are in Christ. And so we have overcome the devil. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Jesus dealt with him how long ago? 2,000 years ago. He rendered him powerless and helpless. And today, we are Christ's representatives on the earth. He's not here in the flesh, but we now are his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece. And we can remind the devil, Jesus lives within us. And by the authority of his word and in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the blood, we can command the enemy to get out and be loosed off of our very being and off of our stuff. And we're going to do that here in just a few minutes. Right now, listen. When Jesus shed the blood on Calvary, he rendered the devil helpless and powerless. Now it's up to you and me to enforce what he accomplished 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid the price on Calvary. It is finished. Would you say that? It is finished. He conquered the devil, and he's given the church the same power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There is power and there is protection in the blood, and you and I have it applied then to our own lives. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We each have a testimony today of what God has done in our lives. Don't hesitate to tell the devil that he is a liar and in fact the father of lies. Brother Galen, would you come on up, brother? I know that I've been repetitive today, but I want us to understand and know without a doubt this morning, there is a divine protection that comes from that blood when you get saved. And the first thing you want to do, guess what, is tell somebody about it, what Jesus did for you. When you get healed, you want to tell somebody about it. And what God does for one, guess what the Bible says? He'll do for another. But you have got to come to Him. And you have to believe His word and believe who He is and believe that, yes, He does exist. We need to declare boldly that the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. In just a few minutes, I'm going to pray. But I've asked Galen to come and I want him to sing here in just a minute. And as he prepares, would you just look around? I want you to, I want to make sure that you're sitting beside someone. If someone is alone, I want you to have them sit beside you, because this morning that's going to simply be a symbol. It's going to symbolize that we are in agreement and in one accord of what we desire and want to do God to do for us. And we believe that He will do that and is about to for each one of us. Be sure you're sitting beside someone. Brother Galen's going to sing now. We're just going to take a few minutes, and I want you just to sit there and let the Spirit of the Lord just work in you for just a moment. Let Him speak to your heart. Go ahead, Brother Galen.
This is the air I breathe.
Hallelujah.
This is the air I breathe. In Your holy presence, it's living in me. This is my daily bread.
Hallelujah.
This is my daily bread, and Your very word is spoken to me, and I'm desperate. I'm lost.
This morning again, I want to pray for everyone that's watching online and in this house today. I want you to agree with me and those beside you as we declare the stronghold of Satan to be broken from our lives and from those of our families. And as I pray this morning, you can agree with me by just right where you're at, by just saying amen. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against the works of the devil. Satan, I bind your work in Jesus' name. And I command you to loose your hold from God's people and let them go. Lord, you said whatever we loose on earth, you would loose in heaven. Whatever we bind on earth, you will bind in heaven. So this morning, as New Life Family agrees together, we bind the work of the devil and we loose those bondages and chains off of those who have, of whom they have been taken hold. Let every lie of the enemy, every deed that's contrary to your word and would bring harm and even death, of which the door has been opened to, we break those things off of us and off of our loved ones in Jesus' name. Can we all say amen? Now, church family, I'd like you just to declare these words after me. Would you say it after me? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers my spirit, soul, and body, and has sanctified me and separated me from the world, the flesh, and the devil. I not only discern both good and evil, but I aggressively come against the kingdom of darkness and spoil every plot and scheme that Satan has waged against me and those around me. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you say amen? Now, I know it's getting late, but I feel we need to do this today. I'm almost through. We can't wait another day. We can't wait another week. Understand with me, the Bible says that Jesus carried the stripes on his body for our physical healing. Listen, the prophet Isaiah saw that hundreds of years ago before Christ died on that cross. Here's what he wrote. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Listen, the arm of the Lord is revealed only to them that believe the report. So what is the report? Isaiah 53 and 5 tells us. It is that he, speaking of Jesus, was wounded. In other words, he was pierced for our transgressions. That's our sins. He was bruised, and that's not just a bump on your arm. He was broken. His body was broken, as it were, for our iniquity or our guilt. And it says, upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, here's what he wrote, we are healed. Would you say that? We are healed. The prophet Isaiah reached forward into the future and pulled what happened at Calvary. He pulled it back to the past and he wrote about it. And then we find over in the New Testament, we see then where Peter looked back. He reached back to the past and he brought it to the present and he said, by his stripes you were healed. It was done back there on Calvary. Right now, we're going to pray for those that are dealing with sicknesses, disease, and infirmity. And if you need or want something to happen for you, then I want you to agree with me and be in faith for what God has already done for us. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, if you'll come into agreement with what I'm about to pray, God will work in your body. You'll see it manifested in your body. Now, Lord, we ask that your Spirit move on the behalf of those who have been in the fight of their lives. Loose them from every sickness, every disease, and from all afflictions. Jesus, you said in your word, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so, in the name of Jesus, we come against all sickness, disease, and infirmities that have attached themselves to our bodies and to our mind. We bind Satan's work. He's the one that afflicts. He's the one who comes to steal. He's the one who comes to kill and destroy. And so we command you, Satan, and your imps to loose God's people. Every person that's suffering under the sound of my voice, I call the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to come alive into your body. From the crown of your head, through your innermost being, to the soles of your feet, and out to your fingertips, be healed in Jesus' name. And now in Jesus' name, I curse every cancer. I command the cancer to die and to disintegrate, and every blood disorder to be passed out of the body. Touch our eyes to see clearly, and touch our ears to be unstopped. Help us who are unstable in our step be able to walk and leap for joy. Lord, every problem from every female disorder, stomach trouble, back trouble, chemical imbalance, ear, eye, nose, and throat problems, those that are having problems in their legs and in their feet, we declare that resurrection power become a reality in each vessel right here and right now. We say, come alive and be healed in the name of Jesus by the authority of God's word. Would you just declare loudly, that's for me. Let the ultimate weapon, that being the precious blood of Jesus, let it flow through every vein of our being. Now be healed in Jesus' name. And by the faith of God, I call forth miracles to be manifested in this body of people. Can you just declare out loud with me that it's done? It's done. And we thank God there's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen and amen. Almost done. One last prayer. That's got to be the prayer of salvation. I can't apologize for the time because this is too important to let us pass by. I want every person under the sound of my voice to repeat this prayer after me out loud. And it doesn't matter how long ago you surrendered and gave your heart to the Lord. You go ahead and let's rededicate our lives to the Lord this morning. Everybody watching online now or at a later time, say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now in your precious name, the name of Jesus. And I ask that your blood be applied to my life. Wash me clean by your blood. I thank you that it has power over my sin, I confess my sin. I repent of my sin. I turn my back on sin. I surrendered my life to you, sweet Jesus. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve you all the days of my life from this moment on and make heaven my home. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Let me be your child. I thank you, Jesus. I receive you into my life. I know my sins are gone. I have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. I am a child of God. Satan has no power over me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Can you worship the Lord with a hand clap this morning? Hallelujah. I thank God for what He's done. Those that are watching online, we love you and we're praying for you. And God bless you in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.